Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm not going to make you stand this whole time, but I am going to read several verses here just to get us kicked off. And then I'll say more after we start in prayer. But I do want you to think about what Peter is saying here. I'm just going to read some of the middle here of this chapter. We'll pray and then we'll go back to the beginning and I'll read some more. Look at verse 8, 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter, of course, is writing this epistle, and we'll talk about some of these things here in as we move along in the message. But I want you to notice what he says here. He says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day." That's a very unique statement that he makes, but we'll continue. He said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up." So, Peter is talking about, we're going to leave off there for right now. He's talking about this special event that's going to be happening. He's talking about salvation that God offers. He said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He says that this day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And that these things are going to be happening all of a sudden. Now, let me ask you a question. Didn't it seem like this catastrophe of COVID-19 happened all of a sudden? Did anybody expect this thing to take place? No, I don't think so. Okay? I know one of my missionary friends, over in Croatia, they've had several earthquakes over there. And we have some missionary families that are friends of ours over there, the Johnny Leslie family and Brother Sam Ward. And I know we support them. They're back there on the wall. But you know what? They didn't expect an earthquake, right? Some things come suddenly, come unexpectedly, right? But here's the thing. I was taught something in the military, and it was always to be ready. Always pray. I guess that's a Boy Scout thing as well, right? But you know what? We're always supposed to be ready for anything. Well, hey, guess what? We're about ready to roll into 2021. It's coming whether we like it or not, is it not? Yeah, it's coming. I mean, the calendar days just keep flipping, don't they? Guess what? Well, that's going to happen. And to God, he says they flip even faster, right? Remember this one thing he said, a day is with the Lord is worth a thousand years one day. We understand that, right? So, to God, time is really just kind of just spinning, isn't it? It's not. It's like it's the next thing coming up on the COVID that's coming up on the calendar. You know, this is that. Yeah, your birthday's coming up. Your death day's coming up. I mean, they just keep rolling. Time keeps rolling, doesn't it? We need to be ready for anything, and ready for everything. Are you ready? Are you ready? I hope you are. Now, I love what Paul says here, Peter and Paul. This is Peter. Paul's the other guy. Now, this second epistle, he says, "Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Now, if you were able to listen to the Sunday school lesson this past Sunday, I talked about remembrance. Okay? And for those of you that maybe forgot already, or you didn't get to see it, I talked about remembering some things, remembrance of sin, remembrance of salvation, remembrance of service, and remembrance of sanctification, or being set apart for God's use. But remember, I used this verse to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, Peter's trying to remind these people that he's writing to of some things. He says that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Remember, we read this already, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, I'm not going to take a rabbit trail here, okay? I'm not going to get into all these different theories of creation and all that stuff that a lot of people dive off into. But all I think this is trying to say is he's trying to equate something that to God, time doesn't stick to him. Time doesn't apply to God. Okay? God is timeless. Amen? He is without beginning, without ending. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, right? So, God, think of God in heaven, God the Father sitting on the throne. All these events are kind of happening simultaneously, if you will. They're all taking place. So God can see all and know all of what's going on. It's us that are bound by time, not him. God's not bound by time. And so he says this. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So stuck inside of all this story of the creation and the flood and this comment about time, that the God is eternal and is without the bounds of time. It says in here, he kind of sticks this in here, that God cares about the souls of mankind. God cares that people come to repentance. He's not slack. God didn't forget about it. It didn't just miss his calendar. Okay? He knows what's going on, and he said this thing is coming, that he cares about this, but he does say in verse 10, at the conclusion of that statement, that all should come to repentance, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So he's saying, all of this is true. There was a beginning of things, there was a flood, there was all of this stuff. Man needs to be saved because there's coming to an end of this thing called time. There's coming to an end of this thing where there's not going to be any more time for people to be saved. That day is coming. It's coming. Are we ready? What if it's tomorrow? Are we ready? What if it's in 2021? Are we ready? You see, we need to be ready. We need to be ready for anything. We need to be ready for everything. Hey, listen, a lot of churches were not ready for COVID-19. You know, Pastor Lassiter told us at a staff meeting, this is back in August or July, I can't remember which, but he said, guys, I just want you to know, there are hundreds of churches closing their doors in America because of COVID-19. Because they can't support a pastor anymore, or nobody's coming anymore to the churches. Things are, you know, they're just shutting down. I think there's maybe some churches, some Christians that just weren't ready for a catastrophe like this. You know what? Anything can happen at any moment. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready for what will come. So, how is it that we get ready for anything? How is it that we get ready for everything? Well, let's study in Scripture and find out how. Okay, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I told you on Wednesday nights I want to try to be an encouragement to you. I know you have a heavy work week. You go through different things, through different trials and difficulties, and sometimes your battery gets drained down. But I want to charge you back up again tonight, because I want you to be ready for anything and be ready for everything. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Why don't you look at verse 12? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that hath gathered little hath had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For he indeed accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered to us by the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind." Okay? So Paul is exhorting these people, but what was happening? They were prepared. They were prepared. And they had a ready mind. Did you notice what he said there in verse 12? "For if there be first a willing mind." You know what? A willing mind is a ready mind. We have to have our minds ready and prepared for anything. The people that are successful in a crisis are who? They're people that are of a ready mind. In our church safety training that I've gone through, one of the main mottos is, if it is foreseeable, it's preventable. If it's foreseeable, it's preventable. Be of a ready mind. Hey, could you see something like this happening? If you would, where there is no vision, the people perish. We've got to have a vision. We've got to have a foresight of things. We've got to have a ready mind. You see, God wants us to be ready for anything and ready for everything. He wants us to be. You know what? We have the ability to think, to comprehend. One of the downfalls of young people is they lack the ability to see what's going to happen in the future. They lack the ability to plan ahead, right? Because young people, where do they live? They live in the moment. They live in the here and now. They're not thinking at age 16 where they're jumping off of buildings and bridges and things and destroying their bodies and lifting things they shouldn't lift and breaking their back. I'm invincible. I'm a young man, right? They don't think that when they're 45 or 50 that they're going to have back problems and they're going to have knee problems, right? I didn't think about that. Hey, listen, at 43 when I drive for 8, 10 hours, my knee gets stiff. You know why that happens? Because when I was a kid, I ran 10 miles a day for cross country and track. I didn't think anything of it. No big deal. I wasn't thinking ahead. But we have to think ahead. We've got to be ready in mind for anything. All right, go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're just going to flip around here and see what the Bible has to say about being ready in our mind. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 2. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 2. He that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. And be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Hey, we need to be ready in our mind to preach and to teach to those, because the time is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. We need to be ready, ready of mind, ready to preach the word of God, ready to tell someone and to see ahead into that if they don't get Christ, they might spend eternity in a place called hell. We need to be ready, ready in our mind. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Paul's writing here to the Philippians in chapter 2. Look at verse 2. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." You know what Christ, he goes on to say here, I won't take the time to read it, but I want you to know, the mind of Christ is thinking about others. Others first. You know that word joy, right? Jesus, others, yourself. That spells joy. When we get our mind right, we get our mind thinking right, we prepare ourselves. Hey, look, I'm not thinking of me first, I'm thinking of you first. I'm thinking, what would Jesus want for me? And what do I do for others? And then I can think of myself. You know, as a father, I've had to learn that. You know, a selfish father is not a good father at all. It's not. A father that just lives for himself and only does what he wants to do and only has time for his things and his life, it's not going to be a good father. Right? What did our father think of? Us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Hey, as soon as man sinned, what was God thinking of? Thinking of us. Thinking of salvation for the lost that needed to be saved. Hey, God is ready in mind. We ought to be ready in mind. He said it's the mind of Christ that needs to be in us. How can we be ready for anything and ready for everything? Have the mind of Christ. Be ready in mind. Just a verse out of Isaiah 26:3. You don't have to flip over there. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, the Bible says this: "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted." You ever say, "Oh, I'm going out of my mind. I don't know what to do." Because you've got to trust the Lord. If you have the mind of the Lord, you'll be ready for everything. And ready for anything. We've got to have the mind of Christ. All right, let's talk about something else we can be ready at. I'll go to Matthew 24. I found this an interesting parable and story that Jesus was telling. And we're going to get into it just a little bit here, but here in Matthew chapter 24, we need to be ready in mind. We need to be ready for anything. We need to be thinking ahead. We need to be thinking of others. We need to have the mind of Christ to be ready for anything and to be ready for everything. Here in Matthew 24, I want you to begin with me reading this to yourselves as I read aloud in verse 42. He says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Okay, he's telling us to watch. Remember, we told you that the day of the Lord could come at any time. It could come this year. It could come tomorrow. It could come next week. "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's he talking about here? What's he telling us to be ready for? You know, we have a master. We have a master in heaven. Doesn't the Bible tell us that because of salvation, we are bought with a price? We are not our own. You know what? We don't even own our own bodies anymore. It doesn't belong to me. You say, yes, it does. It's yours. No, it's not. No, I don't belong to me. I belong to Jesus. Yeah, I belong to Jesus. He's my master. Well, he's my savior. He's my friend. We talked about that, but he's my master. I'm bought and paid for. He paid. Now, he didn't get very much when he paid for me, but it's his. Hey, listen. I'm the servant. We need to be ready in service. You notice he says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You know what I want? I want whenever this day happens, whenever this is all over with, and maybe we're still here on this earth, my life will end before that time comes, but whatever comes first, I want to go out doing what God wants me to do. Whether we get to meet him up in the air, or whether I get to see him in death, I want to go out with a bang. I want to go out doing what God wants me to do. And if not, some of my friends, they're getting a little older, or long in the tooth, you might call it. There's some older servants of God. And a lot of people say, well, they should retire, and they should take it easy, and they shouldn't go out and preach as much anymore. Baloney. Boo on that. No way. Hey, you know what? Those men have said in their heart that if they were out heading out gospel tracks and keel over dead at the door, that's how they want to go. Or just standing up in the pulpit and preaching and say that final amen in a service and just crumple over on the floor. That's what they want. And God bless them if that happens. I don't want to go out just sitting down doing nothing. I want to be doing something for the Lord. I want to be ready when my Lord comes back. I want to be serving him with all that I have. And I want to be ready to meet him. It's funny, how many of you understand that chapter and verse divisions aren't necessarily scriptural? And I don't mean like it's a bad thing, but you know, when they wrote this, there were no chapters and verses in here. Okay? They help give order and make sense to the Word of God. But do you notice what comes next? Look at the next story that Jesus tells. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Now, for sake of time, I'm not going to go through and read this whole story. He goes into another story about being ready for service. Okay? 5 of these young ladies were ready. They filled their lamps. They had extra oil. And 5 did not. Hey, do you have extra oil ready? Are you ready in service? Are you ready for the Lord? to tarry his coming? Because that's what happened, right? The bridegroom tarried, took a long time, and the lamps went out of the five that didn't prepare, and they had to go and buy more, right? And while they were gone, what happened? He came. He came. Yeah, I'm reminded of a little story. My brother and sister and I were given an assignment by my parents. And we were supposed to clean the house while mom and dad were gone into town. I forget what they were doing or why they were gone. But we were given a certain list of chores to do. And like good, all good children, of course, as soon as mom and dad left the house, we started out the chores, right? No! Of course not! Why would we do that? No, what I remember is this. We lived up on a hill out in the country, and through the fields, off in the distance, probably about a mile and a half, you could see the highway. Right? And of course, we were playing or watching TV or doing something, and just out of a glimpse of my eye, I saw my mom's car drive by. Now, I knew I had about 2 minutes until she pulled into the driveway. So what do? Yeah, we rushed around, straighten this, straighten that, dust this, vacuum that, you know, all that you can do in 2.5 minutes. That wasn't good enough. And my mother knew. I mean, can you really fool a mother? I don't think so. Now listen, we waited too long, and guess what? We got in trouble. Hey, don't, oh, COVID-19, oh, the end of the world's coming, Jesus is coming soon, quick, let's hurry. Well, no, we need to already be ready. No rushing around. God wants us to be ready in service. I'm going to read you a verse out of Titus 3:1. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. We're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be ready for the good work of God. And you know what? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be ready. Like the five wise young ladies, they were ready. And the foolish ones were not. How many of you want to be a fool? I don't. How many of you want to be wise? Absolutely. Do you know what wise people are? They're ready. They're ready in service. They're ready in mind. And let me just put one more to you here. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're supposed to be ready. In 2 Peter it said that day was coming. It's coming quickly. We don't know when. It's going to come as a thief in the night. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Paul, kind of writing his last words to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know what? This is kind of a sobering point here, but it's one we all ought to think of. We need to be ready in life and in death. You know, I don't wish for anyone to check out early in this life. But some of us are going to. And some are not. That's just the facts. We don't know. When your number's up, it's up. And if it's 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, 100 years, 80 years, 90 years, I don't know what time it is. I don't know how long you have in this life. I don't know how long I have in this life. But God does. And you know what? It's not for me to know. It's just for me to be ready. I need to be ready to live all of this life that I can live. And I need to be ready when it's over. For when it's over. Paul said he was ready. He was ready to be offered. And the time of his departure was at hand. Are you ready? You know, they say, you know, are you ready to meet your maker? Okay, well, are you? Are you? I mean, What if you met him today? What if it was today that was the day that you're supposed to go home to be with the Lord? Are you ready? Do you have your house in order? Paul said that he was ready to be offered. Luke chapter 22. Flip over there. Luke chapter 22. Now, just because you're ready in death doesn't mean that you can't live. Okay? You need to live life to its fullest and live every day as it is maybe perhaps your last. Luke 22 and verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Interesting. Now, Peter thought he was ready, didn't he? Oh, yeah, I am very familiar with Peter, okay? I am a Peter. I'm that type of personality, you know, open mouth, insert foot. I'm really good at that. But let me tell you something. Peter was confident, right? A little cocky. Get it? Cock, bro. Right, okay, never mind. That's a bad pun. Okay. The cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Was he really ready? Now listen. Don't give Peter a bunch of grief here. Would some of us have done the same? Huh? Yeah, probably. Now listen, what happened though? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Hey, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Hey, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Three times, right? Hey, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. What did he do? When I preached day of Pentecost, thousands were saved. Had a wonderful ministry and suffered a martyr's death for the Lord. Hey, I bet you know what? While he's being crucified, he was ready. He was ready. At this point in Scripture, he said he was ready, but I don't think he was. I don't think he was. Hey, you got to check your readiness. Are you ready to really give up your life for the Lord? Hey, I'm telling you right now, I'm ready. I'm ready to give up my life for the Lord. If our government decides that they're just going to shut down all the churches, guess what? I'll be an underground preacher. I'll do it. I'll stand in this pulpit. If they want to come shoot me down, then they can come shoot me down. I'll shoot back. I'm just telling you. We gotta be ready, folks. Do you know what's coming in 2021? You know, there are countries around the world that they can't even meet in buildings like this for fear of being captured or imprisoned or killed. You said, not in America. Are you ready? I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. Please understand me. But we got to be ready. We got to think of these things. What might happen? What am I going to do if it does? Well, we've got to decide. Go over to Revelation chapter 3. One last scripture here. Revelation chapter 3. This, of course, is in the letters of the seven letters, or the seven churches there. Here in John's Revelation. In Revelation 3, he writes to this church in Sardis. Look at verse 1, listen to what he says. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come on thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, there's a whole lot of things here that we could talk about prophetically, okay? But I just want to focus on the words that he says. Some of you aren't ready. Some of you aren't ready for me to come. Some of you, you have a name, you live, but you're dead. You have a name, you live it, but you're living, but you're not living. You're dead. He said, we need to remember, we need to repent, and we need to come back to where we need to be. He said, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. They're ready. They're ready. And he said, if you overcome and you make yourself ready, you can be clothed in white. No, he said. So get ready. You know what, folks? We need to be ready for the day of the coming Lord. We need to be ready for anything and ready for everything. We need to be ready in mind, ready in service, and ready in life and death. Ready in life and death. Listen, I know 2020 is hard for many people. And listen, I'm not saying this tonight because I'm hardened of heart and I don't care about people. I do care about people. And you know what? Above all the grief that the folks in the faith have had, lost loved ones, and maybe some because of COVID, some because of other things. But let me tell you something. We have lost some loved ones. I've lost some good friends this year. And I've lost a grandfather this year. But let me tell you something. There are lost people that have died this year too. Without Christ. And maybe it's because someone wasn't ready like they should have been to give them the gospel. Maybe it was because the church wasn't ready. You know, I told you there are churches that close their doors. Maybe because they weren't ready. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. We're still here. We can be ready. We can make our minds ready. We can make our bodies ready for service. We can make our lives ready for living and for the death that's going to come to all of us at some point in time. But the point is this. We need to be ready. We need to make ourselves ready. Get ready. Because here comes 2021. It's coming. Whether we like it or not. It's coming around the corner. Time stops for no man, right? It's just going to keep rolling. I think Peter made that very clear in 2 Peter chapter 3.